Jacob chapter 4. In the first few verses of this chapter, Jacob explains the reasons for making the plates, and the first major reason given is given in verse 3. And he says that he was making these hoping that that we would receive these plates with thankful hearts. And we have to ask ourselves, is that really how we view the Book of Mormon, or do we look at it as something we have to study because we are told we have to study it, and if we study it, then we'll be righteous, and we will have then checked off more of the blocks of being a righteous person. Do we do it that way, or do we look at the Book of Mormon and say, this really helps me in my life, I'm really thankful to have it, I enjoy studying it every day, it is really of value, and even when it is hard work, that the work is of value? And do we really look at it, and we have this thankfulness in our hearts, and we sure are lucky that we have this Book of Mormon so clear to us, and that we can have it printed so nice, and that these words are given to us? Are we thankful to these men, and we think of Jacob as being a real man, and that he had to do some work and had to work through the Spirit to give us these words? And then also the important reason for these plates is to tell us of Christ, and to tell us that they knew of Christ, and that all the prophets before them knew of Christ, and that we should know of Christ, and that should be our focus also. But do we try and get a real feel for this, that would we like our children to know of Christ? Do we try and tell them of Christ, and do we want others to know and our posterity to know? And they did, and they loved him, and they knew of him, and it was a great aid in their lives. So therefore he goes on in verse 6, and he begins to tell us that we should study this scripture, and he tells us that we really need to search the prophets, or meaning we really need to search the scripture and these words that he has given us, because these are the words of the prophet. And if we believe it as we should, then the things in the scripture will reveal many things unto us, that as it did to them. You know, this is explaining what it was for them, which is obviously to us, many things concerning Christ, and it will show us or them how they should conduct their lives. And so these are what revelations are. Many revelations mean as you study something, things become revealed to you. And they said that the key was that they studied their scripture and the things that were given by their prophets, and we should therefore be studying the Book of Mormon and our scripture, and it will tell us about, mostly it will tell us about Christ. It's not only the atonement, but it will tell us how to have a Christ-centered life. Their lives were in here. Everything was centered around Christ. And how was Christ involved in our personal lives, and how does he control the entire plan of salvation? So we learn everything about him. And if we study these scriptures as we've done so far up to Jacob, we see that he is indeed throughout all our lives. And when they studied with the spirit of prophecy. That is, they looked about themselves and saw how old prophecy had been fulfilled and how it was being fulfilled at their time. And then therefore they look forward with hope and belief that it would be continue to be fulfilled. And again, for us, what is that fulfilling that we care about? We care about the prophecy that we will therefore be gathered, and that the wicked will be destroyed before us, so that we can be gathered and be with all those others in the world who truly desire to follow Christ, and we look forward to the time when Zion is truly established. And then in verse 6, he continues on to explain what the reward is for studying like this, and for studying the scriptures diligently and letting them reveal things to you. And the reward is that the scripture will begin to give you hope. And they will. And then as it talks again about the gathering in Zion, you'll begin to have a hope for that. And then pretty soon you'll have faith that it'll actually can come about. And as that faith grows in this, then that faith can be manifest by even having the power to move mountains. And this is extremely important, because it explains to us how we actually develop the faith to move mountains, and we develop it by immersing ourselves in the scriptures and studying them and letting them reveal to us the many things, and then watching through the spirit of prophecy that is revealed in scripture until we gain a hope and have faith. he goes on into verse 7 to say, but then even after you have had this great faith to move a mountain, that the Lord still reveals to you his weakness, and that'll be a key. If you become lofty and prideful, then you're in trouble. The wise man will see that the Lord reveals your weaknesses to you, and that is how you gain strength, is by seeing these weaknesses and then overcoming them, and that the reason that you receive the great power to move a mountain is not because of is because you have any power of yourself, but because God has built this faith in you, and then He has given you the power, and God has said that if you follow Him, then He will keep His promises. Here He'll say He'll give you through faith you'll be able to see mountains move. Well, He'll fulfill His promise, but He owes you nothing to do that. The very reason He even makes the promise is because of His grace or because of His love for you. He didn't have to do that. And so no matter how you figure out what blessing you're going to receive, at best you can say it was due because God made a promise or made a covenant with you to do something. But what you did on your side in no way paid for what He does on His side, because everything He's done in this life has been for your benefit. And therefore, and why did He do that? He did that because of grace or love. And again, in order to do that, He had to lower Himself down to the level of man, and that's what condescension means. And He lowered Himself down to man to help man out, and he did this again because of His grace and love, and He didn't have to do that. And that is what His work is an expression of His love for you, and to help you and to lift you up. And in verse 8, it goes on to say that this is the Lord's work. It makes the point this is His work. It is not man's work. And that a man can only learn some of His ways. And he learns that through personal revelation. That's what it means to be revealed to him. He relearns some of God's will through personal revelation. And again, man wants to constantly think that, oh, okay, now I see what the Lord wants. And then he runs off and does it man's way. And He makes it clear you don't understand, and no matter if you keep thinking you understand, you're wrong. That all you can do is learn a way here and a way there and a mystery here and a mystery there, but you do not understand the entire plan of God. And so therefore you cannot expect to take on His work. You can only at best be an instrument in His hands. He finishes this verse by saying, "Brethren, despise not the revelations of God." Which means when you despise it, you receive one, and then you say, okay, now I understand. And notice here, immediately you start saying, I understand, like as if it's all you. And then you run off to implement some work or do His work, but you don't continue to receive that revelation. You do not understand that He's the one in charge, and that He has to keep giving you revelation after revelation after revelation, because you are incapable of understanding His ways and everything that He is doing. In verse 9, he makes it clear that God is the power, not you, but the earth and everything was created by God's power. This work is done by His power, not by your power, not by your intelligence, not by anything, but being done by God. And so he says, therefore, and he's pressing this point, he says, therefore, brethren, in verse 10, brethren, seek not to counsel the Lord, but to take counsel from His hand. Meaning that you go to Him and find out what He wants. You need to have His counsel. But you don't say, oh, this doesn't seem right, Lord, this is how we should do it. Or, Lord, I'm doing a great work in here and building up Thy church, and so therefore, look how wonderful it is, and uphold me. And don't think in these ways. You need to get counsel from Him continually, because it is, again, as it said in this chapter, you cannot comprehend all the ways of the Lord. You do not know what He's doing. And so second by second, day by day, you must live by personal revelation, whether it's for yourself, for an organization you're in charge of, or anything. You must have that day by day, because you cannot figure out what the Lord's work is, and you must keep seeking His counsel. So it goes on in 11 to say, so therefore reconcile yourself with the Lord. And you do that by focusing on Jesus Christ. Get yourself focused on Jesus, and then through Him you can go to see what God's plan of salvation is. And it's saying here that part of being reconciled is getting it clear meaning getting it clear in your mind here that it's you that needs to go to the Lord. and you go reconcile yourself with the Lord. You find out what He wants, and so therefore get things flipped back right side up and quit running upside down of the cart before the horse and thinking that you know what's going on and you're going to do this work. Get it straightened out that you need to get focused on the Savior and what He can do in your life, then go find out what God wants. And so he's saying, therefore, in 11 and 12, to that we're not to get hung up on what our part is in the work, but get ourselves focused on the Savior. Meaning, we want to say, oh, this is it. The important thing for us is to do the Lord's work and build up His kingdom and take care of the church and so on and so forth. And they say, no, the thing that you need to do is you need to focus on how you go to the Savior and how you do what the Savior wants and how you build a relationship with Him and how you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He will take care of the work. He will do the work. He will build up the church. He will build up the ward. And He may tell you how to do that, or He might tell you what to do in that respect. But you get your focus on Him and get it off of doing His work, meaning that you think that you're the one that's going to do His work. Your focus is on Him. He'll do the work, and you might be an instrument in doing that. And in verse 13, it just makes it clear, you need to believe that the prophecies of the Book of Mormon are real. The things that are said in the Book of Mormon are real. These things are for you. They are to be applied directly in your life. And he again counsels you in verse 14, do not look beyond the mark as the Jews have done. The Jews continued to look upon the mark. They could, meaning that they would keep, instead of looking at themselves, they look out at the world. Instead of trying to figure out the Lord or just trying to save them, they look at this bigger work. And instead of just seeing the plainness of the words of the Scripture, they start analyzing things and get hung up in the history. Most commentaries and discussion on the Book of Mormon seem to be focus around, gee, what was Joseph Smith doing when he wrote this, and what was exactly the history of the times? What did they eat? What did they wear? They all hung up in things like that instead of saying, what does this scripture have to do with me personally? That's just where our part is. We don't even have to look very far out. Just look back at ourselves and see where we are. And if you do that, then God will reveal things to you. And when you look at yourself, then He will reveal what you can do to progress yourself. And as you progress yourself, the things He tells you to do will have to do with doing His work on this earth and how it even benefits others and so forth. But it started by you looking at yourself and then doing it as the Lord says. Therefore, in verses 15 through 18, he goes on to say that because, again, you and the Jews would not listen, then you are going to stumble because you refuse to listen in how to do the Lord's work, meaning the Lord's work is yourself, not a whole bunch of others and not a church and so forth. Get the idea of looking beyond the mark clear. He then gives chapter 5, and chapter 5 is a story, and it's meant as a story to help us see, do we know how to see what the Lord is telling us, or do we continue to look beyond the mark?